Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
All right, everyone. We're back today at In the Open, and today we're going to talk about stress eating.
Hi, everybody. Hopefully, everybody's doing really well out there.
We are going to try a topic that America and I are passionate about because we struggle with it, but there's nothing on the website about this topic, and the topic is stress eating. People have this question all the time about, like, why do I gain so much weight, or why am I not gaining weight, or why is mental, like, I think there's a lot of questions about mental illness and its relationship with food.
Yeah, I think what ultimately happens for many people, I would believe, is that we don't ever really think about the connection between of how we kind of feel and then what we actually do to move through those feelings. So that's where the stress eating is kind of really important.
Seriously, you don't think we think about it? I feel like we think about it all the time.
So, okay, this is the way I think about it. I'm having a really crappy day. Oh, I want a cupcake, right? That's how I think about it.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, we don't think about it in the way that's kind of more medical. It's like, oh, I think I want a cupcake because I think I may be dealing with depression that way.
Okay. Nobody thinks like that.
But that's what we're talking about, right? Because in the end, they're connected.
Yeah.
So whether it's anxiety or whatever it is that you're dealing with, you're trying to deal with that.
Because food is a drug.
Yeah, it is. It's.
I mean, in a basic sense, we know, like, so just talking about what it feels like, I think everybody can relate to stress eating, right?
What I find interesting around this, though, is the issue of simply thinking about it. And the way that I think about it, right, is I'm feeling a certain way. Most often it's negative.
Always negative.
Sometimes it's positive, too, because you're like,
oh, okay, maybe fun.
Yeah, everything that we end up doing, at least in my culture, has some food associated with it.
Yeah, you're right. Because it's like thinking about the same with drugs, like, or alcohol.
Right.
Because you're like, yeah, when I'm having a party, I feel like I gotta go.
Yeah.
People struggle with eating on holidays because you're like, oh, I'm having a special day. Then I'm gonna go do that. Yes.
And then you have, you know, three slices of pie.
It's especially hard because I'm like feeling sad and I'm going to party. So I feel like both I gotta eat and I wanna eat and I can't stop myself.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's that struggle. And we always come back to this idea of finding a balance. And I think that's very important in this space. There's also hormone changes, right? All of a sudden, it's around the time of the month. And I'm like, I want something sweet and I want something salty. And then I just want to eat everything.
So times where we're especially stress eating.
Yeah.
That sucks, man.
There's this relationship that we are so close to all these issues. For me, I could not tell you once in my life where I have not struggled with weight issues. And for when I think about why it is, it's just because of how our culture is. My culture, not your culture.
Shut up. Asians, you know, have, like, a weird relationship with food.
I know, but I cannot speak to the Asian community. I can only speak to my community. In Spanish, you know, they're like, oh, estás gordita, you know?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you for pointing out my weight issues. I appreciate it so much now, right? Like, I wasn't aware of that. But when you try to think through why these issues happen in our culture, I can't, you know, like, I can't even process. And I wish I had, like,
but you need to. That's part of what this exploration is.
I know.
Like, okay, so I'll go Asians, you know, we have this too. Asians greet each other by asking if you've eaten. That's how important eating is to Asians. We don't even say hello. We say, have you eaten? My mom doesn't even say hello to me. She's like, did you feed your husband? Because she thinks that me serving and feeding my husband is how we show love, right?
Yeah. That you,
so
yeah.
At every moment, my mom is feeding me, making me food, making sure I fed my children, fed my husband, greeting me and asking. I mean, my mom never said, I love you. She asked me what my favorite food was and she made it for me. And that's how I knew I loved her. So, like, me and food is love. And then you're right. That's so funny. I didn't know Latinos did that, but they are so rude about being like, oh, you're fat.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you're fat. You gained weight.
And then if you lose a little bit, they're like, well, you're not eating. what do you mean, dude? Like, I'm just trying to get healthier. And then it's like, oh no, nobody's going to want to marry you. You know, it's like, what? So there are all these well, they're not really understated. They're stated. They're like in your face about it.
Straight in your face. But yeah.
That, for me, it has impacted me in thinking like, am I comfortable in my own skin? Definitely. But
you are?
I am comfortable in my skin. But does that mean that I'm not working to try to get better and healthier every day? But, you know, the fact that I have cheese puffs in my drawer doesn't help that, right?
Yeah. What I love about this conversation is we're kind of moving into this other space with food and culture, which is like the pervasiveness of it and the way it's tied to our identity.
Yeah.
And our self-worth. It's like eating badly is like another thing where we get to just beat up ourselves on.
Yeah.
You know, like
completely
another failure.
I think it takes work to really think about what it is that leads you to pick up a cupcake compared to the carrot. You know, is it the fact that you're getting sugar? Because then we talk about sugar and the fact that there's an addiction process there too, right?
Yeah. Dopamine, right? That's what they say. The dopamine response.
Right. Give me some sugar. You want it more and more.
But let's talk about that. If food is a drug, how is when we talk about drugs, there are like rituals. Are there rituals with food?
Yeah.
I think that if you ask people who love food, they would absolutely talk about rituals that they have with food, right? The way the chip bag feels. The way I eat a chip.
I mean, you've talked about how you sit on the couch, right? And you like go through a bag of Cheetos, right?
Yes.
I could go through a bag of Twizzlers, you know, and I just like chomping through those little suckers. I guess I associate them with like going to the movies because you always can buy a bag, you know, and just kind of chomp through that. And because I know that, I end up grabbing a few and then like handing the bag off because I could go through that bag.
I know that my emotional relationship to fast food is tied to habits from my childhood. So I have that like almost Pavlovian response to certain types of fast food that I won't name. Like my mom used to take me to a certain type of fast food every day before or after school.
Yeah.
And so I totally associate, like, again, my mom showing me love with eating this particular item. And every time I drive by, I have this Pavlovian response to it. I salivate and I like want to go in there because even as I'm driving through the drive-thru, I feel loved. You know, it's like pretty horrible.
It's like, yay.
Yeah. But I don't know. But the other stuff, like the chips, like there's something. I think chips are made to be addictive. We know that. Like, yes, they are. Yeah. The way they taste. And like,
yeah, because you just can't eat one.
You can't. And like, so you're just, the next thing you know, you're eating a ton. And if you're feeling like you just are sad or frustrated or tired or, yeah, relaxing. That's interesting you said relaxing because you're right. It's like I'm stress eating because I need to relax. And when you relax and you just eat this chip, I think that's part of the challenge is that you just lose time.
Yeah.
You've lost time and you've not even realized that you've eaten 10 portions of a food.
When you're really stressed out and anxious and with little time, you may go to fast food because of convenience. And that's not what we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. It's really this other aspect of wanting something specific because you know it's going to quash some feeling that you have.
Yeah.
That, I think, is at the core of when we start thinking about what stress eating is. And in that, it's also saying, you know, I want to feel a little better.
Yeah.
Even though after I eat this, I'm going to feel like crap because I know I shouldn't have had it.
Yeah. That's why it's a drug.
But, yeah. You just focus on that immediate feeling.
So food is, I mean, on the scientific side, don't they say food is the dopamine? It's the sugar.
Yeah.
It totally has the same. Do you think that people who are more like allowing more space for people who have addictions do the same thing with food? Or do we have more judgments about food?
I would imagine that more people now are understanding the impacts that sugar has because like I stopped using as much sugar as I used to. And when I see the difference, and if you would have asked me like 4 months ago, it's like, hey, can you drink tea without sugar? I'd have been like, no way, man. That's not even tea, right? Like, that's not possible. But I slowly started doing it. And then when I got to a point, like, I can totally have tea now without any sugar. And my brain, it doesn't react in the same way. Before, you know, when you start thinking about just eating, we were eating to nourish our bodies, right? After activity, blah, blah, blah. But then there came a point where you're like, we have to talk to one another, you know? And that's what makes us different, right? Because that's how we connect with one another.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I don't know that I've read a lot about people talking. Like, our relationship with food is about relationship, but the addiction that we have and the stress that we have is also so exacerbated because, yes, the culture side, but you're also saying, like, anthropologically, there's something in us that's driven to eat because it's communal.
I also think of this idea, for example, you know, in Latin American countries, and Bolivia specifically, like, when we have our day, you know, we go home in many cases for lunch, and we have a period of 2 hours to be at home sharing a meal with your family and then going back to work in the late afternoon, right? Mm, so
that's nice.
It's amazing, right? It's completely amazing. And some European countries do that as well. But there is this focus on the nourishment and connection piece that here in the United States, we don't have, or we're just like, oh, you got to eat because you got to keep going. So it adds, I think, to the stress eating, because if you as a person are trying to hit certain tasks that you need to get done throughout the day, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's 3 p.m, I haven't eaten anything. Oh, what would be great? Oh, a cheesy hamburger, you know? So there's a lot that is kind of just on the table there, no pun intended, because we have to be able to think through that to get to how we feel.
So those are all the things that drive us to eat. What works for you when you're stress eating? Like, what are some real tips to, like, fight the urge? What do you do?
So I avoid buying foods that are triggering for me. I do not have Twizzlers at home, you know, like, I just don't. But then I also have healthier snacks that I can munch on that I can eat. Like, you know, the whole idea of a potato chip, I've gone to the point where I can eat a couple and be like, okay, that's enough. Let's put the bag away. But I can also then have carrots, but I have to do something that is not just a carrot. It's like spicy cheese or something on it, because that crunch does something to the brain.
Mm. So spice is the easier, like, you're thinking about the taste. So if you can't have sugar, then you can have spice. And spice is better, healthier for us than sugar.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with you that I have to not buy it. My problem is, if I'm stress eating, I will make every excuse in the world to go out of my way to get the things that I want. And there's nothing stopping me. Like, and if my husband is also stressed, he is not a good accountability buddy. Like, he is not going to stop me. Sometimes he'll be like, you're so stressed, I want you to feel better, so you should go to the fast food place. Like, go ahead and treat yourself, right? Like, I'm like in a codependent food relationship. But it's slippery. Geez. It's not, obviously not really, you know, I know people, we could go there, but it's like, if he's around me and he's not in a good space, or he just wants me to feel better, it's too easy for him to, I don't think we've stated it out loud or something, to be like, no matter what I do not give in. If you give me an inch, I'll take a mile. I'll drive there and I'll buy way more than I need to eat. I'll eat it all. I'll even buy some more for other people so they can engage in my bad habit with me. Oh my gosh, I realize I do this. And that's the communal aspect. I'm like, oh, if I'm going to be bad, then I'm going to make other people feel bad and do it with me. It's horrible.
You have to do that. And I say have to with caution, because I know what happens in my mind is when somebody tells me I can't have something, man, that triggers something in my mind. It's like, oh, I'm going to have it. Don't worry about it. I'm going to find a way. And I guess I'm a little obsessive with that, so that I have learned how, when I have had to learn how to consistently be like, no, it's okay. If you want it, and I'll eat some, but I won't eat all of it.
How do you do the mind trick for portion control? Because I don't have that off switch.
It's taken a while for me to learn that practice where I started just thinking about quantities, you know, that portion, and then saying, do you really need like a whole thing of rice? Because, you know, my people are rice people, rice and potatoes, right? And it'd be like, okay, you can have some rice, but then add more vegetables. And it's, I still get the taste. And I think that's all my brain needs for me to feel like I'm getting what I want, but not in this amount that I just feel like, oh, overwhelmingly crappy afterwards that I've eaten it.
So you do it at the moment you're going to reach out for it. Like, you're like, okay, if I know I'm going to eat these bag of chips, I'm not going to go to the couch with the whole bag of chips.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull out 10 pieces of chips or whatever.
Yeah.
So then if I want to get more, I literally have to get my butt up out of the couch to go get more chips.
Right. More energy is required, right, for you to actually engage in this behavior.
Yeah.
Because if it's another thing, like if you don't have it at home, that means you have to go out and buy it. And, you know, so there's steps that you have to take to do it. Sometimes, though, I struggle when I'm at like these family and friend things where food is always around, where people are like, oh, you should eat a little more. And it's like, God, I hate you. You know, like, shut up. But again, it's looking at what you have available to you and focusing on, are you going to have a piece of cake later? If you're going to have a piece of cake later, you can't eat all that rice right now. You know, so it's all a mind game. Sometimes I just want to be like, forget this, yo. I'm just going to eat a pizza. And I do it. Because if I don't have that downtime, it stresses me out more. There are some people that... like they like chocolate. Like I can eat chocolate, but I don't really like crave it. But there are some people that love chocolate, and it's that idea of unwrapping it. All those little ritualistic behaviors that help quash something in your mind, right?
Yeah.
Stress, sadness, whatever. And you're like, oh, yay.
Yeah.
I get a little treat. It's that whole reward factor, right?
I think that's tapping into that human quality is we like ritual. It's part of the human connection. So all we can do about them is to be aware of our tics and our drivers and our triggers or whatever and build in protective factors. Yeah, that's what you're saying. Like protective factors. Don't bring the whole bag of chips. Don't buy them. You know, call a friend to make sure that, you know, do something to just stop yourself before you're about to. I mean, I think that's a big part of AA. It's like, call your sponsor, don't go to your dealer, right? It's kind of the same thing.
No, because I know there has been research done that highlights that, you know, when people ingest sugar or certain foods, it is in brain scans or whatever, they show that the areas of the brain that are like firing are your pleasure and reward centers, right? It's like, yay.
Yeah.
When people start recognizing that they do have a relationship with food, we can all say, yeah, of course I eat. No, but this is different, man. When you start really saying, you know, I talk about cupcakes. I love cupcakes. I love them. I don't know why. Maybe because I just like bread. I don't even really eat the icing, you know, but it's this connection of it's a little treat. I mean, when you're talking about your husband, right? My boyfriend was like, I brought you a cupcake, you know, it's like, yay, you know, it's like, give me the cupcake instead of flowers, man.
Happy.
So I think you do have to think about as a, you know, as you kind of think through what you're struggling with, like what are the foods that you go to on a regular basis and what do they make you feel?
Yeah. It's owning it and not letting it control you, right? Yeah. So yes, you can stress eat sometimes, but the problem is we know that we stress eat all the time and that our stress eating gets into a bad spot where it makes our depression worse and our anxiety worse. And I don't have a binge eating disorder, but I imagine that's even harder, right? So all you can, what you need to do is own it, see it, claim it, so that you can actually be intentional to try to control it versus just immersing yourself in that experience and then feeling horrible afterwards.
Yeah, completely.
All right, well, good. That was a good conversation.
Okay, guys, so remember, keep fighting in the open.
Bye.
Bye, guys.